Oh, Holy God, we are so grateful for the powerful way that you work in our lives. Open us to your awesome presence that is always with us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of all our lives be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Somewhere else you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. Be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You know, I grew up on sitcoms and I loved Cheers, and I think this Cheers theme song captures the hunger of our human hearts to live in deep, rich community with one another, to feel like we belong somewhere. Yeah, in my previous church, there was not much in the, it was kind of a rural community, and so the pretty much the own game of town was this farm market that was right beside the church, and they served some sandwiches and had a little seating area. We would have meetings there as a church sometimes and Bible studies and, you know. But when I walked in there, I loved that the workers knew me. I loved the people knew me there and they greeted me by name. And not only that, but they also, not only did they recognize me, but they also knew my sandwich order and what I like there. And, you know, we want to be known, don't we? To have a place where people know our name and isn't that what we want after all? Just to find that place where we feel like we belong. We're not meant to be alone. It's not part of our genetic makeup. You know, we don't thrive in isolation or in loneliness. You know, we need people. We need a community. Now, I'm reminded of the redwood forest. The huge redwoods, you know, are known for their enormous height and beauty, as well as their long life. And the secret to their strength of these giant trees can be traced back to their extensive root system. Towering up to 350 feet in the air, the redwood root system is surprisingly shallow, no deeper than 6 to 12 feet. The physics of the tree just don't seem to work. The towering trunk, often weighing up to 500 tons, and the shallow root system would make for a disaster. So why don't they just topple over? How do they stay upright? Well, each tree's roots are intertwined with the roots of the other trees. The root system provides the stability that enables these trees, these ancient landmarks, to stand for hundreds of years, sometimes even thousands. The success and longevity of this kingly tree is a direct result of the tapestry of their interwoven roots that connects them all. You know, when strong winds and rain push against the giant trees, their interconnectedness keeps them upright. The same is true for us as followers of Jesus. You know, when we stand alone, our roots are not typically strong enough to withstand the winds and the rains of life. But when we are locked together, we can withstand almost anything. And we see this profoundly in the book of Acts, that the first followers of Jesus endured and overcame the reign of intense persecution and prevailed because the Holy Spirit formed and shaped them into a community, where their roots were tangled and where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Now, we were made for community. We are made for community. After all, we have a God who exists in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always in fellowship with one another. In the creation story, God created Adam and Eve to live in community, saying, it's not good for man to be alone. When God called Abraham, he also called Sarah and their family to begin a new nation. You know, we see this throughout Scripture, this call to community. You know, King David had Jonathan and his mighty men. The first thing Jesus did when he began his public ministry was to form a team, the disciples of 12, to go with him. And for 3 years, these men lived together richly and deeply in community. The Apostle Paul had Silas and Timothy. We are made for community. When God made you and me, God made us for community. You know, one thing that always breaks my heart as a pastor is to watch people try to live the Christian life as kind of freelance or free agent Christians, trying to go it alone. You know, maybe they watch a television program or a service online, and those can be wonderful tools to help to encourage us and to strengthen us. But then there's times when we have to have that community. We can even come to worship and sit in a pew week after week, month after month, year after year. But if we aren't actually connecting into the life of the church community, then sometimes when the winds come and the rain comes, we don't have our roots connected where others can help us to weather the storm. Every precious follower of Christ was made for devoted community, to live in deep, authentic relationship with God and one another. And notice from our scripture lesson this morning, that's what held the early Christian church together, enabled them to thrive and to grow. God worked through community. The early Christians devoted themselves to fellowship. They studied together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They were filled with awe together as they witnessed the wonderful signs and wonders that were being done. They were all together and held everything in common. They shared their material possessions. They worshiped God together. They ate together in one another's homes, praising God together. They shared their lives with one another. And look what God did. He says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Wow. That's church, isn't it? Isn't that exciting when you see that kind of community? They were devoted to fellowship and community. Being part of community truly makes a difference in our Christian life. You're being a part of community, first of all, fosters our spiritual growth. In the New Testament, the phrase one another is found more than 60 times. Over and over again, God gives Christ followers a command to live together. And God does it for our own good and for our growth. It says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and the sharing and meals and prayer. I think a key word here is devoted. They were devoted. They were committed to that life together. You know, sometimes it's hard, you know, when we don't want to go do something, you know, commitment sometimes is what gets us there. And I have found in my own life, when there's times when I haven't wanted to go, but that commitment gets me there, I've been blessed tremendously because I was there. How many times have you heard someone say, you can be a Christian without going to church? And you can. You can. But you're not going to grow as much. You're not going to thrive as much. You know, being a solo Christian would not even be thought of as a possibility by the early church. As we give our lives to Jesus, you know, but if we're not in fellowship with other Christians, if we're not worshiping with other Christians, if we're not sharing our lives together, if we're not praying with other Christians, if we're not studying God's word together, you know, we miss out. We miss out on the awe. We miss out on the growth. We miss out on fully having that faith that is vital and live that we find and experience within the Christian community. There was a young man who was fed up with church and wanted to see, he went to see a wise Christian friend for some advice. And as they sat together talking, they were in front of a fire. And he told his friend all the things that bothered him about church and how he felt he'd be better off without it. As he was speaking, the wise Christian friend silently took a pair of tongs and removed a red-hot, glowing coal from the middle of the fire and set it on the hearth. The coal glowed for a while, but eventually dimmed and turned black. He let it sit there for a while. Then he took a pair of tongs and placed it back, the coal back in the middle of the fire. Within seconds, the coal was glowing red hot once again. The young man took the wordless lesson and left determined to stay within the life of the church. You know, that time when we're together, that being alive, that on fire with Christ, comes as we can, you know, burn with one another in our faith. We need one another. Just as the coals soon burned out when they were removed from the company of the other coals, it's hard. It's really hard to go it alone. We're removed from ourselves from that fellowship. In Romania, after the fall of communism, there was a lot in the news, and perhaps you may remember it, you know, as people became aware of the many orphans that were basically being warehoused in huge orphanages there. They were vastly understaffed. So many of the babies, while had most of their physical needs looked after, food and shelter and hygiene, they weren't often picked up and snuggled and cuddled and played with. And many of the doctors, you know, many of them were what doctors called, they had failure to thrive syndrome. Failure to thrive syndrome. They may be many months old or sometimes even years old, but they still looked and acted like newborns. And this is what happens to us when we don't share our lives with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we're not connecting to one another. We can have what we call spiritual failure to thrive syndrome. Because our community fosters that spiritual growth that we need. A devoted community also opens us to God's awesome presence that is with us. God's awesome presence. So as they did these things, as they devoted themselves to fellowship and breaking the bread and prayer together, you know, something amazing happened. The Bible says a deep sense of awe came over them all. Deep sense of awe. Does anyone remember, I'm dating myself a bit here, you know, does anyone remember when movies first became available to rent at home? Right? Anyone remember that? When they first became available to rent at home. Well, there was great concern in that time in Hollywood that this would cripple the movie industry. Because after all, why would someone go to the movie theater when they could simply rent a movie and view it at home in their pajamas and sitting around, you know, with popcorn at home? But what actually happened was the opposite. Theater attendance actually went up. Because what happened in the theater full of people didn't happen in the living room around the TV. The smell of popcorn, the surround sound, the laughing and crying and being with other people as we experience what's going on was an environment that no living room could ever recreate. The first followers of Jesus experienced a community of faith together more vivid than any high-def IMAX 3D movie watched alone. Did not Jesus say, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them? We can have times of deep communion and connection with God as we are alone with God. And these are incredibly important and essential in our lives. But you know, there's something that happens when we gather as a Christian community. There's something powerful that happens. Whether it's in worship or when we study or when we fellowship together, whether it's in prayer or mission, something powerful happens because God shows up. God shows up. In devoting ourselves to community means opening ourselves to God's presence, God's awesome presence that is among us, and to experience that, to open ourselves to that awe, to see Christ in one another, to be open to what the Holy Spirit is as the Holy Spirit unites us as a community. Something powerful happens. A devoted community also allows us to share in ministry together. You know, it says all believers held things in common. They pooled their resources and they took care of anyone that was in need. The Holy Spirit empowers us for the work of ministry, but we have to remember we don't minister alone. The best, most fruitful ministry is done in teams of people united in purpose who use the variety of gifts that God has given us for their work, for God's work in the world. See, all the believers were united. They shared everything. They were generous with their resources. They were constantly reaching out to new people, and they experienced joy in the midst of doing that. With their very lives that they demonstrated and they testified to the great things that God was doing in their midst. And look what God did. So God was adding to their numbers because they were reaching out because their community was contagious because of what God was doing in their midst. A wise person once said, snowflakes are fragile, but if enough of them get together, they can stop traffic. Isn't that incredible? God does incredible things when we join together in mission and ministry. God does incredible things. And finally, a devoted community gives us a place to belong. The Greek word here used here is koinonia. We're familiar with that, aren't we? Koinonia. Yeah, we have koinonia just right here that reaches out to our community with love and shares the resources that the communities have out with those in need. Well, koinonia in the biblical sense means a fellowship built upon and around all those who believed. A fellowship with God and one another as they share their life together. So in that koinonia community, in the Acts 2 community, they experienced this closeness, this bond that came between them as they shared their beliefs, as they shared in worship, as they shared their goals and their purpose, as they shared responsibility for mission and ministry, for care of the community. They experienced great joy in that. It was a true fellowship, a community formed through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. It's in that koinonia community that we find true belonging. And it is also here that we hear that call to help create a place where all are welcomed and all find that sense of belonging. Our founder, John Wesley, knew the importance of Christian community. He was what we call a systems genius. In many ways, there was far more elegant preachers than John Wesley in his day. They could draw bigger crowds. But John Wesley and the early Methodists helped to order people in a way that the gospel stuck in their lives. And it was centered around community. We often think of John Wesley blazing the trails by himself as he went from town to town. But that's not how it happened. You see, John Wesley was a team player. And he traveled with a team of people for safety and support and encouragement and effective ministry. And in each town that they traveled to, Wesley and his team worked to set up small groups of people where they could support and encourage one another in faith. And Wesley preached to a crowd. The invitation that followed was not to become just a Christian on the spot, although they were welcome to do so. But the invitation came to come to a class meeting that night, to join in that Christian fellowship where people could gather for worship together, where they could support and encourage one another in faith. Because in Christian community, that's where true growth happens. It opens us to God's awesome presence. We can share and ministry together and find that place where we belong. Small groups are important. They're wonderful and essential as Sunday morning worship is. You know, it's hard sometimes to form real community, you know, as we're sitting in pews, all facing one direction. But community happens as we rub elbows with one another, as we happen around circles and tables, as we begin to sit with one another and pray together, as we serve and study and eat together, or we can cry and laugh together, or we can share our joys and concerns and support one another, to have those small conversations and those deep conversations. So if you aren't already, I encourage you to connect with at least one aspect of the church outside of Sunday morning worship. Whether it's Sunday school or small groups, a study or serving together or in the choir, to find that place where you can rub elbows with one another. You know, we need a place where someone truly knows our name. Where, to go back to that redwood tree image, where our roots get tangled together. Where we learn that we don't have to go it alone. That when we face life's difficulties, we can be surrounded by a community of grace and support. We need a place, a community where we can find the hope that sustains us through the most painful of life situations. So that sense of belonging that blesses and stretches us and lifts us beyond our own preoccupations and remind us of who we are and whose we are. We need a place where we can learn how to accept and offer forgiveness, how to serve and be served. We need a place where we can deepen our relationship with God as we follow where Christ leads us. A place where we can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. May we all find a place where we belong and are loved.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
Let's join together.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows.
Franconia made this to always be a place where we are known and loved. In Jesus' name.